My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brat. He represents the Old Dominion 7th Congressional District, and he's a member of the House Budget Committee. And it's financial issues that have us once again talking today, as earlier this week, the federal government announced that its current projections are even more dire when it comes to the sustainability of Medicare and Social Security. It expects Medicare to go insolvent in just 8 years now, 2026, with Social Security following suit in 2034. So why is this not getting more attention, and what can actually be done about it? Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, hey, Greg. Yeah, great to be on. Just to get to the guts of your question, why isn't anybody paying attention? That question says it all. And unfortunately, the answer is that the only group, the only substantial power group who doesn't have a lobbyist up here is, guess who? The kids. And if you're not represented, you don't get attention. And the major pain we're inflicting from both the debt, right? The debt's $21 trillion. And then these programs are part of mandatory programs and the entitlement programs. And together, they're about $100 trillion, right? That's 5 years of income all going to those, right? They're $20 trillion economies. And that's just to pay off the amount we promised to pay out. And we have that part is unfunded, much less, you know, the full cost of the programs, et cetera. And so we've got major heavy lifting to do. And we got to get the kids involved on these issues, or they're going to get, you know, major cuts when you said in 26 and 34, respectively.
But one of the things that makes this issue difficult is people don't see a giant pile of $21 trillion in debt. And if they did see a huge pile of money, they couldn't tell if it was a billion or a trillion, probably, because the both are concepts that we don't grasp too well. So, I mean, I was looking at this earlier in the day. It made brief headlines on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I couldn't find that story on the homepage of any major mainstream news site at all. Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, at all. So how much of this is the fact that it's kind of complicated and it's not as saucy as what happened with Roseanne Barr? And how much of it is just that the American people don't care?
Yeah, well, I applaud you, first of all, for covering it. If you're in economics, right, economics is about efficiency. And so usually when you start to think, you say, let's take the low-hanging fruit and solve the biggest problems first. And so you're right on target. This is the biggest problem, right? The problems at the federal level begin with a T for trillions, right? And when you're talking about $100 trillion, that is by far the biggest problem we have. And then the interest rate's starting to tick up, right? And so eventually, in 10 years or so, they're saying that the interest payment alone on the debt will be bigger than the defense budget. And so when you put it all together, the major piece that you don't see, but where people can feel the real effects at home, is the mandatory payments, right? Medicare and Social Security and all those used to be about 25% of the budget. And the budget, the rest of the government and all that, was 75%. Now that's flip-flopped. Now the mandatories are 75% of the budget, and we're trying to fund all the rest of government on 25% of the pie. And people are starting to feel that, and states are starting to feel that, and localities, because the same money is not getting down to them. And then Wall Street, in the last year or so, everybody knows, right, that the bond market is the ultimate arbiter here, right? They will send a signal on what is too much debt. And the unfunded liabilities fit into that somewhat indirectly. They put pressure. And so you're getting a lot of new concerns from the market itself. And that, unfortunately, is probably what it will take. As soon as the bond market has a hiccup, then everybody's going to get way more responsive. But you're right. We should be dealing with it right now if you're rational and foresighted.
We're talking with Virginia Congressman Dave Brat. And Congressman, I remember about 20 years ago, President Clinton had a commission on Medicare reform that had an impressive panel of people, and they ultimately didn't end up doing much with the recommendations from that commission. I remember very briefly President George W. Bush trying to allow a sliver of folks' Social Security taxes to be privately invested, and really members of both parties balked at that. So what are the concrete ideas that could actually accomplish reversing this massive problem and that would actually be politically feasible?
Well, that you just limited it.
All right, take it one at a time. Right. Take it one at a time.
Yeah, just to show, you know, the folks that don't study this stuff all day, when these programs were implemented, the average death age was 65. And so all these programs broke even, right? Half the people passed before, and then you pay the expenses for the other half that lived beyond 65. But now the programs still kick in at 65, but the average death age is now 83. And so you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what the answer is. But that's politically explosive, right, to rearrange these programs and reform them. And so that has to be bipartisan. And it has to be done within an election cycle. Paul Ryan has been at the forefront of this, putting together rational policy proposals. But then you get ads against, you know, Paul Ryan, et cetera, for pushing grandma off the cliff.
Right.
If you mention the major problems we have as a country. And so that's not optimal, right? If the Democrats don't want to get behind closed doors and help solve problems for the kids, and they just run those attack ads, you can imagine you're not going to get a whole lot of trust involved trying to fix these major problems. And that basically sums it up.
So when the stuff hits the fan, I assume the Democratic response is more taxes. What's the free market response?
Yeah, well, the free market response is to reform the programs in line with what I just said. And then the tax increase, right? I mean, I used to have the head of auditor of public accounts for the country and for Virginia, for the Commonwealth, at Randolph-Macon College. And if I told you how much you would have to raise taxes to pay and make these programs solvent, you wouldn't believe it, right? It's through the roof. And those aren't politically palatable. And if you put those tax increases in, you'd bring the economy to a halt, right? You'd have zero growth or recession immediately. And so it's a all of the above, right? It's going to take everything we got instead of waiting for the last minute. But it looks like we're headed there, right? 2026 is not far off. It sounds like it's far off, but that's not far off.
This sort of news doesn't come as a big surprise to you. You've talked to us about entitlements getting ready to take up every last penny of revenue in the next decade already. It looks like it's just moved up a smidge here. But what's the response to this on Capitol Hill? Is there an, oh my gosh, we have got to deal with this? Or is it, it'll work out?
No, nothing. No response. I mean, that's what's stunning, because people have internalized the politics and realize what it would take to achieve that change, right? And they know, I mean, we're trying to get 218 votes in the room on, you know, fixing other major problems, right? Immigration we're working on, healthcare we worked on, and it's hard to get 218 on Republican policy. And then you got to go across the aisle with the Democrats and ask them to eat. And the Democrats don't like spinach, right? They're more on the spending side. They're not on the trying to trim and trying to save money over the long run. They want to expand all of government, right? Every single bill that comes up, they expand government, federal government. And Republicans have the philosophy that you should do the constitutional parts of the federal government, right, that are in the Constitution, the enumerated powers, and all the remaining money and power and resources should go to the states and to the people. And you'd get better outcomes, right, because they'd be managed much better. The states have to balance their budgets, and the Fed can print money and go into huge debt. And we've shown that's the case. And so I think we have the winning philosophy, but unfortunately that doesn't help solve this problem.
And we'll see if there's any more urgency as we get closer. A lot of people, unfortunately, have found political success by either diminishing the problem or ignoring it altogether. But it sounds like that's not going to be an option for much longer. Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, you bet. I'll just throw in one little positive, and that is the economic growth piece is coming together. It looks like we might end up year-over-year growth at 3%. And I always tell the young people, this just puts much more urgency into your career preparation. Get ready for the job market, right? If you know what the future is looking like, get yourself skilled up and get ready to go in the economy. And that's we got a little good news in that corner right now.
So you're not buying this argument that this dire projection is a result largely of the tax cut that passed last year?
Oh, no. I mean, that's just pure politics. That the tax cuts are $150 billion a year. And if you grow at 3%, they're paid for. And now guess what? The left said, you'll never get 3%. And we're at 3%. And what they won't tell you is to get 9 Democrat Senate votes at the end of the budget, we had to plus up the budget $400 billion. The tax cuts were $150 to get the Democrats to go sign a budget. They wanted increased spending of $400 billion. And so, yeah, make sure you're getting your news from the right source.
So, referring to the $1.3 trillion omnibus and the demand that domestic spending get raised at the same level as military spending. So, yeah, a lot of fingers being pointed in a lot of directions. Hopefully, some efforts at solutions will be more the norm at some point. Congressman, again, thanks very much for your time.
You bet. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt represents his state's 7th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.